you want to secure your retirement on your own terms, you need to go beyond conventional financial planning. Stick around. We'll introduce you to new perspectives for enhanced wealth creation and protection. Now, on to our podcast, Beyond Conventional, with Joe Biondolillo.
Hello and welcome to episode number 9 with Joe. Today we are going to talk about the bottom line of behavioral economics. Now, for those of you who don't know what behavioral economics is, Joe is going to give us a great brief history of this, but behavior matters, and how you interact with not only your finances, but with your life can change absolutely everything. Joe, welcome to the show.
How are you, Matt? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Man, I'm doing pretty darn well. I'm really excited that you're tackling this today because this is such a huge component. Why don't you give us a brief history of, one, why you want to talk about this and really where you got your information?
You know, Matt, it's interesting. When I speak with folks on a day-to-day basis, the behaviors of why people do things ultimately in every aspect of your life, not only in finance, but your day-to-day habits, the habitual things that you're doing day to day, ultimately determine your outcomes. And, you know, you could relate it to health and wellness. You could relate it to finance. You could relate it to any aspect of education. Back in October, one morning, I was reading the Wall Street Journal, and there was an article on the Nobel Peace Prize in economics that was awarded to Richard Thaler, who's an American. Okay. And when I read this Nobel Peace Prize in economics that he won and the details within, I started to really peel back the onion a little bit deeper on the concepts of behavioral economics. And, you know, interestingly enough, Matt, the main thing he really tackled is humanity's flaws with regards to economics and finance, namely why we don't make rational economic decisions. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be quite interesting because I think if you spoke to 10 people, and I'm totally making this up, but I think a very high percentage of those people would actually argue that they make very rational economic decisions. What do you think?
I absolutely agree with you. And that's what was so amazing about, you know, Thaler's theory here and what he got the prize for is we're so blind to it, Joe. We don't even see it.
In order for you to be able to see something, Matt, I think it's important for you to understand what it actually is, right? Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at what behavioral economics actually is. And ultimately, it's the study of economics and finance, but doing it from a psychological perspective, right? So understanding the why, understanding why we make the decisions that we do. And when you look at it at 30,000 feet with specific regard to finance, what you realize is Americans as a society are very poor savers. So there seems to be some sort of a disconnect, especially when most folks think they're making rational economic decisions,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that people, well, you had said something on a previous podcast. I'm going to harken back to some history with you and I, which was this idea of paying yourself first. Let's talk about that because that's a huge component, I believe, and I think you do too, when it comes to gaining a greater understanding of what behavioral economics really should be and how it can work for you in your favor.
You know, it's funny. In 2008, Thaler co-authored an influential book called Nudge, N-U-D-G-E. And the concept of that book was to improve decisions about health, wellness, and happiness. Okay. And that book, the theory behind that book was that subtle nudges, right, encourage people to make better decisions, and particularly when they're planning for the long term, such as retirement savings. Okay. So what are some of those nudges that allow people to be in a better position or pay yourself first? One of the things that Thaler did, Matt, was he tried to work with the government to have people automatically enroll into 401ks.
I remember that.
Sponsored retirement.
Yeah, I totally remember that. Yeah.
And that was huge,
yeah,
because the statistics showed that there was an enormous increase in the amount of money that was being saved in retirement accounts with automatic enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
I think as of 2015, 58% of 401ks had automatic enrollment,
wow,
and that's compared to back in 2005 when there was 19%.
Oh.
What do you think the difference in retirement assets is going to be based on that?
Yeah, unbelievable, exponentially greater.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. The second thing that I found to be really interesting is with specific regard to the type of clients we work with. As you know, Matt, we work with professionals, executives, and closely held business owners.
Yep.
our typical client has a little bit of a higher income than the average folks. Mm-hmm. Okay. They're traditionally a little bit wealthier. And when you read the work that Thaler put out and just general on behavioral economics, what fascinated me is that nowhere in any of his writings or any of the research you can do on behavioral economics does it show a difference between the behaviors of people who have higher incomes versus people who have lower incomes.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow. Yeah.
What that tells you is that one's individual success doesn't necessarily change one's behavior.
Mm-hmm. That was a powerful statement right there, Joe. That was a great statement.
And you know, when you look at the facts, we oftentimes will speak with a client that has a very high income.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll talk about how much money he's saving as if he's doing a really good job. But that might be in relation to his brother who doesn't make nearly as much money and is saving a lot less as a dollar and cents, but as a percentage of income. And you know we've spoken about this.
Yes.
As a percentage of income, there needs to be 20 to 25% of income being saved. And it's not as simple as just saying, okay, I'm going to take 25% off the top. There has to be little nudges, little changes, as Thaler said, in your daily activities, in your monthly spending, in your annual budget that will help you increase that percentage. And one of the things that he recommended and suggested, right, based on his economic theory of self-control, which I think this paper speaks for itself in understanding what people's self-control is,
mm-hmm.
Ultimately is that not only by automatically saving, but he's come up with little things that allow people to save more money. And I'll give you an example. Okay. One of the things that he recommends is setting up some sort of a plan internally. He calls it his Save More Tomorrow plan, which encourages people to earmark future pay raises for savings, really overcoming their reluctance to take home less money today. So let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're making $500,000 a year and you're living in a well-to-do area and your children go to schools that are expensive and you've got a hefty lifestyle. You're putting money into your 401k and you're traditionally saving, but you just can't squeeze out more savings today. But when we do an analysis of your finances, one thing we realize is in your executive contract that you're getting a 3% raise every year. It doesn't sound like much, but it's a $15,000 a year raise starting next
right,
year.
Right.
If we could find a way to save or carve off a percentage of that over a 10-year time period, your income could increase over 50%. Which means potentially 50% of that, depending on the allocation that you want to commit to, mm-hmm. could now be savings.
Okay. I need to challenge you on something. I don't mean to get into the weeds here, Joe, but how do you do something like that without getting hammered in taxes, right? I mean, I think that's one of the reasons why so many people are so comfortable with this overall idea of a 401k, right? Because it's pre-tax stuff. And we have had a podcast about that. Listeners, if you haven't listened to that, you should go back. But help me understand, and I know we're not going to get too specific, but maybe you can just quell my concerns that there is a way to save in a tax-minded, not necessarily favorable, but minded way to do that.
Is your question about the savings, meaning how much net dollars are you saving or actual vehicles?
I don't necessarily want to get into vehicles because I think that could get really too in the weeds. I'm just looking for, are there vehicles that will allow you to do something like that? Not the percentages, because you quoted the 25% is really what we need to do, and the nudges of 3 to 5% every single solitary year. But are there vehicles that you can put that 3 to 5% in every year that's not going to destroy you from a tax perspective and, you know, have favorable growth? It can just be a yes or no question.
You know, it's interesting. Because I almost feel like you're asking me a question that you know can't be answered with yes or no. So
I'm doing that. I'm trying to challenge you. That's the fun part of our podcast here.
So let's get into the weeds just a little bit.
Okay.
So to be clear, if somebody's not maxing out qualified retirement plans, right, mm-hmm. employer-sponsored plans, IRAs, things of that nature, then yes, that 3 to 5% number that we're talking about could then be shifted to be allocated towards their employer-sponsored or individual retirement accounts, which would be a qualified or tax-deductible retirement account today,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that would save them on their tax today. Alternatively, let's assume that they're already doing that. they then can just make an adjustment for the after-tax denomination that they will be saving, because there will be an increased tax, and save that bucket of money.
Gotcha.
And then ultimately, the goal, truthfully, Matt, would be that that money is saved somewhat more tax efficient, where maybe the growth on those funds could be protected from taxes, which ultimately could wind up being a larger bucket of money than if it was to be taxed at a later date, depending on one's tax rate in retirement.
Gotcha. Okay.
I think the concept, is more important than anything else.
Yes, absolutely. And I think you're doing an amazing job of opening people's eyes that there are other ways to do this, which was the goal of that line of questioning for me. And also, you gave people a bogey, right? And I love that. You always do a good job with that, because there's such practical information on these podcasts. But if all of us listening to this podcast can shoot for that 25%, that's game changing.
That's right. That's right. And the reality of it is, if you look at what he's talking about in his theory of saving more tomorrow, what are people likely to do? This is New Year, right? It's 2018. It's January 4th. At the end of December, people were overindulging. They were eating unhealthy, and they were doing it very mindfully, knowing that in the future, in on this magical day of January 1st, it was going to end. People have a psychological way of committing to things in the future much easier than they could commit to today. And that's just psychology. So if we can utilize that notion to help people save more by saying, okay, we don't want you to save more today if you can't. If it's not there, if you're expending that money, we get it. But if we could also understand that there will be an increase in income in the future and focus on saving more tomorrow to come up with a plan to get you to where you need to be saving wise over the next 10 to 15 years, it's game changing.
Absolutely. Do you recommend that people read Nudge?
I recommend that people read anything that helps them behaviorally with their finances. As you know, Matt, we're not big on the conversations around rates of return and better investment opportunities. Those will come, and professionals will certainly make those recommendations to you. But if you don't have the behaviors and the habits in place to accumulate the proper percentages of your savings, I will always take a very good saver over somebody who's chasing rates of return. I think a very good saver long term will be in a better financial position, or at least have more financial control.
Well, and honestly, there is research that supports that wholeheartedly. Most of the people who are successful in retirement were the people who were a little bit more frugal, if not more frugal, in their working years, in order for them to live the retirement that they wanted. And I love the incremental stuff. One of the things that we know from a coaching perspective, which is my background, is massive change doesn't last, but slow. So it's the Japanese principle of Kaizen, right? It's slow, gradual improvement, or slow, gradual change over time is what really changes behaviors. And that's what Thaler's talking about. That's what you're talking about. And that's what our listeners need to embody.
So to answer your question, I do believe Nudge is a good book. I do believe if you simply Google Thaler's economic piece on behavioral economics, it would be a good read. But this he's not a pioneer of this. He's just somebody who's put it into perspective. Tony Robbins' book, Money, that he wrote after the crisis in 2008, speaks about committing to saving percentages of your increased income. The Millionaire Next Door, simple, easy read book, speaks about living below your means and being a good saver. These are not books that are talking about chasing rates of return. These are books that are talking about discipline. These are books that are talking about changes in habits and doing things consistently. And that's what we want to focus on with our clients.
And with that, that will be the end of podcast number 9, episode talking about the bottom line of behavioral economics. We will include some links to Thaler's got a TED talk. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's out there that we'll make sure that we put in the show notes. Joe, thank you very much for your thought leadership today.
Great, Matt. Thanks for your time.
And if you have not subscribed to the podcast yet, make sure you hit the subscribe button below. So that way, every time Joe comes out with a new podcast, it'll show up immediately on your listening device. And it also makes it easier for you to share with your friends and family. For Joe, this is Matt. We'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Guardian, its subsidiaries, agents, and employees do not provide tax, legal, or accounting advice. Contact your tax, legal, or accounting professional regarding your individual situation.